Hello, and welcome to the pilot episode of the Jersey Ontario podcast. I'm your host, Eric Bauman. Over the course of the next year, we will be bringing you one episode a month with a mix of features from Jersey farmers across the province and industry experts. Joining me today in our Meet Your President episode is Theo Elisoff, part owner of Derioff Jerseys in Berwick, director for the St. Lawrence Jersey Club, and Jersey Ontario president. Welcome aboard, Theo. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. Thank you, Eric, for inviting me.
We're glad to have you on, and the timing is nice because we have the annual meeting coming up in Cornwall the first weekend in March. So this will be a great opportunity for membership to meet you virtually a little bit and get to know you before attending your annual meeting.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'd like to start this interview by going back and learning about the first steps you took on your journey toward where you are today in Berwick.
So you immigrated from the Netherlands, right?
That's correct.
So how old were you when you came over?
The first experience I had with Canada was I was 20 years old. I signed up for the Young Farmers Exchange Program. That was a program the Netherlands had with Canada. You can sign up for 1 year to work in another country. So that is what I did. So I had the experience that was in 1977 till 1978. So that was not that I immigrated, but was just the 1 year experience I had with Canada, you know, and I was sold that time, you know.
So you had a positive impression of your time here?
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so when did you come back permanently?
So actually, it was kind of weird too. So I came back in 1978 from Canada. So I was, that time I was dating my wife, Ria, and I wanted her to see Canada. So we went on a holiday for the 3 weeks holiday to Canada. It was in 1979. So just to show her the parts of Canada and see if she was interested to immigrate to Canada. So, and she liked it. So then we got married in 81, our first child was born. 82, we decided to make the big step, go to Canada. So we immigrated to Crème Paradis in Alberta. We had a friend working on a farm there, and that farm had jerseys. That was the first experience I had with jerseys. So there was maybe 30% jerseys. But the winter was cold. We didn't like it too much, so we moved to Ontario. I had an uncle and aunt in Ontario. But the years were tough, you know, the first couple of years, the high interest rates. We couldn't find no bank want to give money to buy a farm. So the farmers were not paying really well. And we decided to go back to Holland. So we moved back to Holland in 1985. But I'm back in Holland. We didn't like Holland anymore because things changed, and we got the experience from Canada, and things changed over time. The interest rate went down, and we got a little bit older. We got a little bit more matured, and we decided to go back to Canada in 1989.
So you said your first child was born in 82.
So how many? In 81. In 81. He was 9 years old when we immigrated first time.
So how how many kids did you have coming back the second time in the late 80s?
We came with an older son. He was 9 months old. Then two were born in Canada when we went back to Holland. And one was born in Canada. And two more born in Holland when we came back to Canada again. So we moved with four kids back to Canada.
And then
And then in Canada, there was one more born. So we got five boys.
Five boys. I just want to rewind a little bit to, so did you grow up on a farm as well?
Yes. So I can give you a little bit of history, Eric. The homestead from my maternal side, the homestead was built actually in 1751. So my grandfather married my grandmother. They had only two girls on that farm. So my grandfather was a smart one, I guess, to marry one of the girls there, and that's how he came on the farm.
Okay.
So then my dad was the oldest of 10 siblings. So he was born in 1918. So after the war, everything was was hard to start farming. So my dad had to move away from the farm and find a farm somewhere else. So he moved to the other province and bought a little farm. But that farm was not big enough. That time you had a lot of big families, and all those farms who had a decent site were split up in smaller farms. So everybody wants to do some farming. So, but then when my dad had the farm, that farm was not big enough to farm on. And apparently my older brother went to the agriculture school, and he was trying to farm at home. So for me, there was no place. So, and that's that was actually an interest came to look at somewhere else. And that's how Canada came up.
Okay. And in that time, how did you and Rhea meet?
So quite a story, or not really. we met actually, she was 14 years old and I was 17 years old. We met at a local fair, and that's where I met her the first time, but both quite young. And we knew each other for a couple of years, got along pretty good, but nothing serious. So we actually started dating series was like when I was around 20, actually just at the time I was planning to go to Canada. So so that became kind of serious. So then I told her that, like, I just had signed up for the young farmers program to go to Canada, and that's where we started dating. But then that was all fine. So we just exchanged letters.
Yeah, so you were gone for a year and she didn't find anybody better.
No, that's right. She just waited for me to come back.
So you came back in 89. So what did that look like when you were coming back to Canada the second time? How did you become involved in the farm where you guys are now?
I started doing relief working and hoof trimming. So I had experience in Holland. No, I was working as a relief milker. So I started this on my own here. Clipping, all the kind of stuff. So I got involved with Floyd Dingle at the time, Spruce Fine Jerseys. I was doing relief milking that time. And so when I was working there, I found out that the farm was for sale. So talked to Floyd. I said, well, I really like the farm. Is there any way we can make something to work out so that we can able to buy the farm? And actually, he was quite helpful, and we were able to come to an arrangement to buy the farm. And this was in 1994. Okay. And that time I was already 30 years old. So by the time I was really on my own.
In 94, your oldest would have been 13. Your oldest son would have been 13 at that time, and your youngest would have been about 5.
Yeah. Yeah. And then actually there was one, the youngest, it was Kevin, the youngest. And then there was one more born when we moved on the farm. So Jordan was born in 1998, I believe.
Okay. So, I mean, that must have been quite a challenge, right? Taking over ownership of a farm, raising at that time, I guess, 4 boys. How did you and Rhea handle those responsibilities? And what was that experience like?
Well, it was not easy the first couple of years, with small kids, and you try to put them in sports like soccer or skating, something like that. We had some part-time help. We had some custom workers come in and do some work, so we didn't have a lot of equipment. The first couple of years was hard, but we were able to manage it, and long days and work hard. So I know I can see the difference now with Kevin on the farm and with the small kids. We didn't have really the experience. We had some experience when I was doing the relief milk. So Rhea was looking a lot after kids that time when she was alone quite a bit then. So, but on the farm, so the kids were helping a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's not easy running a farm with small kids.
No, and my mom kind of shares the same journey in some ways that you guys experienced in that way of starting out on a new farm in a different country and trying to raise kids and pay bills and the amount of work that her and dad put in. And that's a very familiar story that you're telling. When you reflect on your time, on that period of time when you were starting out on your own, what is one decision that you made with hindsight that really stands out as having been a good decision to make?
Oh, for sure. It's in 2009 when interest came down and the quota cap came. that's when we decided to build a new barn and build a big enough for the future. So that's for sure the biggest, the best step we made.
Okay. And so 2009, so you've been in that barn for about 14 years now. What kind of a barn is it?
So it's a freestall barn. It's a drive-through. There's 120 stalls in. And then we kept the old barn as calving. We had a calving pens in the old barn. We had the bred heifers in the old barn and the small calves. And okay. Then in 2016, we built a piece on the barn. And so everything's on the one roof at the moment.
Going back again to this, you know, the period of time where you're taking over the farm. So we talked about a good decision. What is one experience that you and Rhea made that served as a real teaching moment? Maybe something that didn't go quite as planned or something unexpected that came up that you realized where it's a situation that you maybe yeah. could have been better prepared for.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking about it, Eric, but one thing I regret, and I was right in the beginning, and that was the thing, we didn't have enough experience with the jerseys. We didn't have any enough knowledge. But when I took over the spruce vine herd part of it, one cow stood out, and I want to have a backup bull. So I said, well, I want to have a bull from one of the best cows who just stood out. And so we had a cow, Anita. She was I think was Massey Tops in it, I believe, and a knight. We bred it with Duncan Jude. So we had a bull, so we call it Alberta. We used a little bit, but behind side, not enough. Like we had one cow that was Terry of Alberta Fancy. She's actually she ended up excellent 94 and 3 times honorable mention All Canadian. And that time we didn't do any genetic testing, nothing. I asked some people what they thought about bull, but nobody really told me if it's good bull or not. So I lent it to a fellow breeder, and I did not even have it classified. And he asked me what to do with the bull. I said, well, you send it to the sale barn after you're done with it. We were not even realized that bull was that great. So I really, going back, what I know now, I really regret that we didn't use that bull enough.
Yeah, would have wanted him back.
Yeah.
Moving on to your time as a board member and director for your club, how did you become involved as a member of Jersey Ontario?
We came involved. That time, our local board member came to visit us with the secretary manager and explain all the programs they had, you know, that time, and explain everything to us. See all the committees they had and the shows, you know, and for the youth. So, and that really attracted us, and the loyalty between the breeders, fellowship, the friendliness, you know, really attracted us to become a member of Jersey Ontario.
Do you still see those positive qualities and attributes in the organization?
Oh, for sure. There's still every time you go to a meeting or you meet up with, you know, they're so friendly, easygoing people. That's what I find.
So when did you begin serving as a board member for Jersey Ontario?
Oh, there was that time when Mike Bowles was president that year. And so they were looking for a replacement. So he approached me if I was interested to become a board member. And that was in 2012, I came on the board.
So you've been on the board now this, you know, 10 years. It's a fair stretch of time, right? Maybe highlight two memorable moments that really stand out for you from those 10 years.
Yeah. One is, I think, was probably the meeting we had with DFO, the meeting between the research and marketing committee with DFO in Mississauga at the office. That time, DFO just changing the mind a little bit, you know, they saw something had to change, you know, there was a need for a niche market for on farm processing. The surplus skim milk was growing, so they had addressed that. So we had a meeting there and really kind of, we had a good conversation. We were there with the whole committee, and the secretary manager was there. And after then, I think we really built up a good relationship with them. And I have to address, like, as a board member, a lot of the board members are also committee members from the local milk committees. So you got that connection, you know, with the board member from DFO and with from Jersey Ontario. And I think that'll really change the last several years, how DFO is changing as well. But they see that it's not like just the Holstein milk or something. It's not like it's not a breed against other breeds, but it's just about the milk. What does the market need?
Bringing some more or spotlighting the fact that there are, you know, more jerseys and that we, you know, represent maybe a smaller, but we do represent a significant portion of the milk that's produced. So what else might stand out for you from the last 10 years?
Yeah, there was, it was a lot, but I think when we had COVID started a couple of years ago, I think the first meeting kind of stood out for me too as well, when Randy did the first virtual meeting, AGM meeting, and we had a kind of symposium speakers on in the afternoon. I think it was something ordinarily, like something new, but a bit on Zoom, you know, that's something we never experienced before. So that is really what stood out as well.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, that would have been seen in a lot of different industries and sectors and businesses, but I think for myself as a board member as well, that certainly has helped for a lot of the meetings. It makes it easier in some ways to be able to attend all of the meetings, even if you have other commitments that maybe don't allow you to travel those physical distances, but you can still join and help with the, you know, the decision-making process and still have those opportunities to learn from your peers. And so I think that's an excellent point, is that for all the, I guess, difficulties that the pandemic caused, it had some positive benefits that we will be able to carry forward with us over the coming years. What are you going to miss about being a board member?
Oh, for sure. I will miss all the meetings. You know, you're always up to date with everything in the industry, eh? Like all the emails you're getting, all the information. Like I know I've been on the milk committee for quite a few years, and since last year, I've been off the committee, but you don't get the emails anymore. You don't get, well, you still get updates, but always later, you read it up about later. But this way, you're always firsthand, you know, you got everything, and I will miss that.
Yeah. Now, with that being said, I mean, being a board member, and particularly in the years where you're on the executive as maybe vice president, president, it takes up a lot of time. Your term is coming to an end, so I presume that you're going to have some free time on your hands. What are you looking forward to doing with that free time in the next year?
Oh, I still like to work, help out all my children. You know, everybody needs once in a while a little hand, and I think I've been not able to give them always a hand when they had to. But for sure, as
some
well
more
traveling,
OPA time.
Like OPA time for sure. And hopefully we can do some traveling, like take the RV out and go to some campsites. So, yeah, good. I think there's enough things to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, you actually did some camping last summer and had the opportunity to come visit us here with your camper one night. So
yeah.
I can see, I mean, you're all set for it, but I could see that that's a passion for you or something that you enjoyed doing. So, you know, I obviously wish you all the best with that, and in some ways might be a little jealous of that. with your term drawing to a close, what do you think is the biggest strength of Jersey Ontario?
I think the biggest strength of Jersey Ontario is the network we have with, you know, we got a good secretary manager. We got, you know, all the directors. No, it's they're all pretty educated directors. They know what they're doing. We got a field person in place. We got Al is working a little bit with the Mennonite community, like to get that communication. You know, I think we got a good network going, and I think that's the biggest strength. Get along with everybody, and yeah, all the committees we got, like every director is on a committee, and I think that's the biggest strength. You know, we get lot of ideas.
And I mean, for all the strength that the organization has, we continue to evolve and adapt to the changing times and market conditions, I guess. Where do you see the opportunity for growth for Jersey Ontario over the coming years?
So I think we are on a good way. So there's a new website coming out up soon. And if we are able to keep that website up with all the info, with all the activities, so members can find on the website what's going on with Jersey Ontario, that will be a big improvement. As well, I think, and you brought it up one time, how we can get the buyers and sellers together. And that will be... is that something we do? Do we need a marketing guy? Like, I know Al is doing a little bit, and that works awesome. Like, he finds a lot of buyers and sellers. So should we increase that to the whole province, or should we give that to the field persons to grow from that, to help that communication with transportation, with transfers, you know, especially with a lot of interest from new breeders or other breeds interested to add some jerseys to the herd. You know, I think that will be the biggest.
So to act as sort of a middleman or a correspondent, yeah, where we're able to, using the connections that the organization has, might be able to, you know, bring buyers who don't know sellers together into the same line of communication and facilitate hopefully some more New Jersey farmers.
Yeah, if we can increase that opportunity, you know, get that on the website or somehow or to the field persons.
Yeah. Teo, I've been on the board for, maybe about 6 years. So we've spent a fair amount of time together, and I have to say it's been a real pleasure. I'd like to thank you for your time serving the board. I think you served an excellent term as president, and I want to thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
It's been wonderful. And again, our annual meeting in Cornwall is coming up March 3rd and 4th. So I encourage anybody who hasn't made a decision yet to make the decision, come on out, meet Teo in person. There's farm tours on Friday. And on Saturday, we will have the AGM in the morning, and we will be doing a symposium through the course of the day with some focus on nutrition in the afternoon, and sustainability in the morning, and how the Jersey cow and the Jersey breed fits into the demand for carbon neutrality that we see in this world. So come on out. Teo, thanks again. I wish you all the best, and give my love to Rhea.
Okay, thanks, Haley.
All right. Thank you for listening to the inaugural episode of the Jersey Ontario podcast. Tune in next month for a conversation about forages. For better or worse, we'll only be 2 months away from first cut, and with spring work around the corner, it'll be here before we know it. Take care, and hope to see you in Cornwall.